This week is Ascension Week, it being 40 days after the resurrection. And I wanted to do some readings on the ascension of Jesus Christ, starting with an article by Isaac Ambrose, who was an English Presbyterian pastor in the mid-1600s. Ezekiel 44 says, "The gate shall be shut, it shall not be opened. It is for the prince. The prince shall sit in it to eat bread before the Lord. He shall enter by way of the porch of that gate and shall go out by the way of the same." As the gate of the Holy of Holies was shut against every man but the high priest, so was that gate of heaven shut against all, so that none could enter it by their own virtue and efficacy, but only our prince and great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, he has opened it for us and entered it in our place instead. The prophets foresaw this. "I saw in the night visions, and beheld one like the Son of Man come with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom," wrote Daniel in chapter 7, verse 13. The evangelists relate it also. "He was received up into heaven," says Mark chapter 16, verse 19. "He was carried up into the heavens," Luke 24, 51. The 11 witnessed it, "for while they beheld," says Acts 1, 9, "he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." The holy angels then spoke it. "While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, 'Ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heavens? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven.'" The blessed apostles in their several epistles ratify and confirm it too. Ephesians 4, 8 and 10, "When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens." And 1 Peter 3:22, "Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels, authorities, and powers being made subject unto him." Now the manner of his ascension is discovered in these particulars. He ascended blessing his apostles. While he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, says Luke 24:51. It is some comfort to Christ's ministers that although the world hates them, Christ blesses them. Yes, he parted with them in a way of blessing, even as Jacob leaving the world blessed his sons. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world," he said in Matthew 28:20. This was the last thing that Christ did on earth, to show that by his death he had redeemed us from the curse of the law and was now going to heaven. And he is able to bless us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. He ascended in triumph as a Roman victor ascended to the capital, or as David ascended after his conquest up to Zion. Now we read of two triumphal acts in Christ's ascension, whereof the first was his leading of his captives, and the second was the dispensing of his gifts. The apostle and psalmist both joined together in saying, "When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Ephesians 4:8, also Psalm 68:18. He led them captive who had captivated us. Death was led captive without a sting. Hell was led captive as one that had lost her victory. The law was led captive, being rent and fastened to his cross. The serpent, his head being bruised, was led before him in triumph, as was Goliath's head by David returning from victory. And he ascended that all these prophecies that were foretold of Christ might be accomplished. "You have ascended on high," Psalm 60:18, "and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east," Zechariah 14:4. The types of this were Enoch's translation, Elijah's ascension, Samson's transportation of the gates of Gaza into a high mountain, and the high priest's going into the Holy of Holies. "Seeing as that we have a high priest passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God," writes Hebrews 4:14, "why, all these prophecies, types, and figures must needs be accomplished. Therefore, on his part, it was necessary that Christ must ascend and go into heaven." that he might assure us that now he had run through all these offices that he was to perform here on earth for our redemption, he that is entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his, says Hebrews 4:10. This was the argument that Christ used when he prayed to be glorified again with his Father. I have glorified you on the earth, I have finished the work which you've given me to do, and now, Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had before you, before the world was. His ascension into heaven proclaims openly that he had completely finished the work he had to do for us here, that no more was to be done in this world for us, that the satisfactory work to justice was in itself finished, and that God was well pleased with Jesus Christ and with what he had done and suffered for us. He is taken up into glory that he might act gloriously the second part of our righteousness. I mean that he might apply it and send down his Spirit to convince us of it. He acted one part in the flesh, in the habit of a beggar, clothed with rags, but now he has gone to act in the person of a prince, in robes of glory, and all this to manage our salvation in the richest way that may be. Three great things Christ acts for us now in glory. First, he is in place of an advocate for us. He ever lives to make intercession for us, Hebrews 7:25. He is always begging a favor and love for us. He lies there to stop whatever plea may be brought in against us by the devil or law. Yes, he is there to get out fresh pardon for new sins. Secondly, he is the great provider and caterer for us. He is laying in a great stock and store of glory for us when we come there. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, he said in John 14:2. Jesus Christ went before to take up God's heart for us, and now he is drawing out the riches of love from God his Father and laying them in bank for us, which made the apostle say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, in Philippians 4:19. Thirdly, he sends down his Spirit to convince us that Christ's righteousness is ours. Indeed, the means of procuring this was the life and death of Christ, but the means of applying this righteousness are those following acts of Christ's resurrection, ascension, session, intercession, etc. By his death, he obtained righteousness for us, but by his ascension, he applies righteousness to us.